Father, thank you. Stop there and be here. Thank you for these classes, for the teachers, school, and bless us with, Lord, our this work. I pray that you watch over it, keep us, protect us, Lord, and come faithful when you return. Be it Brother Thomas and help his business. If we're able to heal, Lord, help him physically, Father. I pray that you be with the Toledo Church and their efforts over there, work on the parsonage, Lord, and open the doors there. Your will be done for a building one day. Pray that you be with this class now. Bless it. Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Second Timothy chapter 3, please. So I have thoroughly enjoyed the classes tonight, and in Brother Daniel's class, either he made a comment or somebody made a comment that when you look at Brother Dale's class and the fights and the contending, doesn't it sound like that's basic Bible doctrine that was turning truth upside down and inside out? It was salvation, baptism, authority, Hebrews chapter 6. Those principal doctrines were being attacked. And when we read records of the Landmark Missionary Baptist New Testament Church members that were standing and contending, a lot of that was Jesus Christ is the Lord. Baptism is a burial. There is no salvation in any other but Christ. And we're not going to live by your doctrines and your rules. We have one lawgiver, and his name is Jesus. Those are the basics. And so, you know, I was thinking about this, that for us, the 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, let's see, Sister Ella, could you read verses 16 and 17 for us? Chapter 3, excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work.
All right. Thank you very much. And so, you know, there's a purpose for the all scripture. There's a purpose for Genesis to Revelation. And, you know, and you do the harmony and the rightly dividing, and you see where, you know, Ephesians 2:10 is that we're a workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What's the rest of it? Unto good works that God hath before ordained, that we should before ordained. Where's that? Well, it's in the Bible, and because it's God. You know, we're told over there in Psalms that it's settled in heaven, so it was before. If Acts chapter 2 tells us that determinate council had delivered up Christ before they ever created, well, that's part of the doctrine, the Lamb slain, that goes in conjunction with all of this. And so it is the mind of Christ. It is the Word of God. It is truth to us. And it is preserved by God. We were just talking about, you know, the so-called dark ages and Brother Roger, you know, it's the Holy Spirit gives men understanding of the scripture, and God lays out the rules with that. And he gives us the Ezras and the Daniels. There, you got to set your heart for it, and then you got to be disciplined. But we're talking about, you know, young preachers and church members in this class, but there are people out there that are not inherently against God. They just don't know. It's only in this church, this kind of gospel that we're taught, get in there and use rules, use guidelines. But a lot of times when we talk about this, we're talking about the wicked, evil men that we already know where they're at. They don't care about God. They don't care about his rules. They care about themselves. You know, was it Brother Christian and I, we always talk about this one. I think it's over there in John 10. They were so worried about Jesus because they may lose their seat and lose their nation. So they had to kill him. So we get that. We get that. But if we're honest with ourselves, you know, and I'm not going to throw Brother Jacob Dixon under the bus with the AI stuff. I'm not going to talk about him anymore with his ability to generate these false things via computer programs that some other man made. Not gonna say that he's the guy that's using all the AI when he's preaching and teaching. I'm not gonna say any of that.
Sound like you did.
No, I said I was recorded. I said I'm not. I'm not. No, I said I'm not gonna say. Did you hear that part? That I said I'm not. Three shay. That's even more than two shay.
Yeah.
I totally lost my train of thought. No, I didn't. We have to make a decision for us individually, everyone here. Do I want to seek after the law of God to do it? And am I willing to discipline and prepare my heart to fulfill that desire? And what's it all for? So I can teach other people. We look at the kings and the priests. You know, and it's always based on alcohol. Why is it that a king was not to drink alcohol?
Judgment.
Judgment. Okay. Judgment based on what?
The law.
Deuteronomy 17. He's going to write down the law and do it. So he don't get lifted up, but he's going to have to judge a grape. Why would the priest not drink alcohol?
Because it was filthy.
Okay. What does the Bible say?
Yeah.
To show the difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, so they can teach. So then what does God expect out of each one of us? What are the elder men to do with the younger men in churches? What about the elder women and the younger women? What was Timothy told to do after he learned faithful doctrine? To faithfulness, so that they can
teach others.
Teach what? As it's delivered. The doctrines of Christ. So this perpetual preservation of God's word is not by you and I. It's by God. And just like God called Bezalel, called John the Baptist, called Paul, God knows who he can use. And it's revealed when he talked to Abraham. I know how Abraham is going to raise and teach his children. I'll reveal these things. So he calls us to do these things. He's the one that's preserving it. It's not you and I. And if he's called you to do it, it's because you've prepared your heart to serve him and to love him. And so he's going to choose you as a vessel of honor. So all the scripture is profitable. It's gain for us in the hard things, corrections, reproving, rebuking, all that. But it's also instruction. That we can do the things that God wants us to do righteously. Because that's what our goal ought to be, because we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that whatever we're doing for the Lord and for his sake, it's because of him, to glorify him, to lift him up, to promote him. Again, that's conditioning us. And if we have that mind and we have that condition, are we going to play games with what the Bible teaches? So listen, we're going to finish up miracles, and there's 1,000 different things to teach on miracles. All I'm simply showing is that for the specific things that we deal with today, we got folks, and I get the questions asked, hey, do we still cast out devils today? Is that still going on? I watched this program one time. So they give you a question, answer it. Answer biblically. Do we have these things today? And we do it with the Bible. And I'm going down a dangerous road that I'm uncomfortable with. I really don't like it. I think I'm autistic. I think I'm on a spectrum somewhere, and I get really, really weird about this stuff.
Definitely.
Definitely. Brother Ryan's called me the Rain Man for a long time. For a long time. It all starts with going camping with him, and he's like stinking Tasmanian devil, tornadoing through his camper, and I got all my stuff, and he comes into my trailer, and he goes, it's going to rain today. It's going to rain today. All right? So, listen, I get it. I mean, if I can back away from this landmark missionary Baptist, hard-driven, draw that hard line, we start messing with salvation. You get that picture of that tabernacle up here, and we've got that gate, and that's Jesus Christ and everything, all those colors, it's construction. The fence is white. We have the silver in there. We've got the draws and we have the pens. It's all God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and the colors. And we have the altar of sacrifice and the brass and that wood. And it's all man, all God, judgment, preserve, no corruption, all of it lifted up. We have the laver, all those things. And we go into the door. It's twice as high, half as wide. Go inside. It's all gold, but it's all covered. I get all that. Those are hard doctrines. Don't waver. Now, am I suggesting that we waver on others? No. But what I'm saying is, tomorrow, when I start talking about Genesis chapter 6, whether you believe those are angels or whether you believe those are men, is that going to cause you to be in that city or out of that city? What's it going to cause you?
Okay. You have to look.
Okay, there we go. That's what, listen, the stirring up the pure mind. Challenge yourself to get in the Word of God and study it rightly. There's rule. Apply the same rules all the time. That's all you got to do. Apply the same rules all the time. I can tell you right now, I got a whole lot of thoughts and feelings. Over the years, I've learned to suppress them. I've learned a good phrase that I use anymore. I don't have an opinion on that. Well, I do. I'm not going to tell them that opinion because it ain't worth it to me. I don't have an opinion on that. What's that?
So you lie.
No, I don't lie. I say.
It's good to know.
I say.
You don't have an opinion that you're willing to sort of push you.
Yes.
Because your opinions matter.
My opinions don't matter. Well, they do. But
sorry.
I mean, no, they don't matter. They don't matter.
You can
read. All right, chapter 4. Let's read 5 here. Let's see. Brother Jacob, if you can read 1 through 5, please. Okay, hold on.
You're that.
All right, it's the written word. And
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Make sure you're not doing some weird AI thing.
Where are we at?
Chapter 4.
Push the Lord Christ, which I'm going to quicken the dead and the departed, and then deem them. Preach the word. Be it to in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers, having engineered. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, a couple things going on there. We're always hearing these. I like to get, for me personally, I like to get to verse 5. My obligation to the Lord is to watch for me, for his sake. And especially in the role or the calling that he's placed me in to oversee the flock of God. I can't waver. No matter what other people are doing, I can't get off track with God. But he gives me a warning. It says other people will. It doesn't matter. Preach the word. Be instant. Do it convenient, inconvenient, or it hurts. It's fun. It's not fun. Whatever. It's wrong person, right person, whatever we try to justify in there. Preach the word all the time. There's a long suffering that happens, but it has to be by doctrine. So weariness to the flesh, it doesn't count. You have an obligation. Labor until you enter into your rest. We're going to get a rest one day. We get a little frustrated sometimes, I think, because we get too cute with what we think we know and how we feel. Just read the Bible. I know for me personally, all the while that I've been inside of a New Testament, this is going to sound really rude and harsh. I've never been impressed by one person because I don't allow myself to be impressed by one person. I hope all of you guys are the same way. Don't be impressed by one. Be impressed by the word. Allow the Spirit to stir you and move according to his truth. Don't be impressed by people. Therefore, don't try to impress somebody. It's not about you and impressing and how good you look. Well, Brother Ryan and I talk about this. It's not how you lay carpet. It's how good you look while you're laying. I know there's some aspect of that, but not in the Lord's house. Use the doctrines. People will turn away from that. It's okay. Don't change. Don't change. Oh man, I gotta save them. I can't let them. No. Preach the truth.
Lord does it.
Get yourself into a position that old brother Aaron had to get himself into as they drug his boys out of the tabernacle. Clean up, put on your clothes, go to work. All right. Any comments or questions to that? Yes. Good to see you, Brother Cameron.
See you too.
Was that a lie, or do you really want to make sure that you...
I'm impressed. I'm not impressed.
Okay.
Yeah, you talked about...
Yeah, I'm ready to share. don't shy away from the truth and preach truth. But also, part of that is... So I have a way that I think. I have a way that that my brain works. That does not work for everybody.
Yeah.
So I need to then take that truth, mm-hmm. to make sure that you understand what the truth is, maybe even in a different way than I like to bring it out.
Sure.
And we look at Jesus and how many times did he use all of these different physical things to point out still that one truth, but he did it four or five different ways. Mm-hmm. And so this is something we talk about a lot in the grant. But if I only know it one way, am I really preaching the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just doing it, essentially, it is the truth, but it's my version, and I'm just cramming it.
Absolutely.
We have to know the whole doctrine to then be able to, multiple different ways, so that somebody else can also know it too.
Amen. I think Acts 20:27, Paul expressed to the church at Ephesus, I use the whole counsel of God, he said. And then we read the Nehemiah passage distinctly. That's that line by line. But I also would encourage, if Jesus used so many different parables to show us truth, use those.
Yeah.
Use those. Every once in a while, we like to come up with our own. You know, like one of my favorites is the egg. You know, I'd get a reaction to somebody, I don't use that.
Okay.
Reagan does. Reagan knows all about the egg. First Corinthians chapter 9, become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. So we have to be working hard at having all the tools and resources that God gives us to do the job that God wants, that all men be saved and come under the knowledge of truth. Brother Reagan, Brother Josh, did you? No, you just were. What were you doing? What was that? Jazz hands? Don't do those in the public like that.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Reagan, Brother Roger.
I think it's just because, I mean, the egg specifically was when I heard of religion. So, different.
The Trinity.
So is that all? That's all you were going to say?
What about the egg?
I'd like to know.
The three parts of the egg. The shell, the white, the yolk. It's God. Don't you guys get it?
What? No.
Okay. Brother Roger.
Sorry. It's all good. Only one way, brother. Paul became all things he became an example of the scripture.
Amen.
Teaching of the scripture.
Amen.
He didn't become a drunk, preach a drunk.
Yes.
Or anything else.
I feel like I'm in trouble when I didn't do anything. I just quoted a passage of the Bible.
You're in trouble.
You guys know that, right? Well, I'll never be able to counsel a meth addict unless I become one myself. That's not how that works, right? You guys know that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in COVID.
Yes, it is. Exactly. Exactly. No.
For sure.
Yeah.
Younger,
yeah.
More changing.
Yeah.
You know, if they leave out all that stuff, letting the influence some of the younger,
amen.
Repressive people,
amen.
Drawn to this,
amen. Absolutely.
Yes.
Brother Bo.
So, I've been thinking about this since our first weekend of classes this year, and
if someone's not understanding the scriptures or their readings, they're having a hard time with it, it's not up to me to come up with a new analogy or a new way. It's up to me to go back to the scriptures.
Yeah. Yep.
The scriptures are all sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Not my skill or my ability or my analogies or my stories.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures are enough.
Yeah.
So when he said I became all things to all men, he didn't transform and become a chameleon and learn how to be get in and get to know people. And that's not what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to use the scriptures
yep.
as they applied to every single human being on the earth.
Sure.
I don't, my style or the way I understand things probably doesn't apply to anybody, but it fits with maybe a segment of humanity. But, you know, whether it's giving the sense or it's expounding or it's what, however we want to phrase it, that's not me taking the scriptures and building on them.
Man.
And I think there's an idea that that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Bible says to do. All that we need is right here.
Amen.
From the front to the back.
Yeah.
And if I'm not getting it, then go back to this.
Yeah,
and maybe go to the Old Testament or maybe the New Testament or maybe the prophets or whatever. But we have to be careful how far we take this, well, expound and give the sense and give more analogies and give more scriptures and more stories. That's it's the scripture.
Amen.
And it's on me to add to my knowledge base of the scriptures to be able to become all things to all men.
That's right. That's right. And it's easy on my heart and my mind to let God's word get into their heart. I don't have to carry that burden. Just give them the word. If they're not getting it, use a different passage. Use that different example that's in the scripture. But don't take on that role yourself of being the convictor of the Holy Spirit. Let the word do it. And if we start adding our own two cents, that's where the word, it's not going to have the spiritual effect that God wants. It's ours. Who had the hand, Brother Jared?
Oh, Luke. And they bring you into the synagogue and the magic power take you know thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you what you need to say, what you need to say, what the verse is in your head. You just need to know the verses.
Amen.
And let him guide you, and he'll get it done one way or the other, but he'll be the one that does it for you, not you.
All right, we're all talking the right talk, so get her done. Do it. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Brother Alex. What did you ask me? I'm sorry, ask. I get used to Walmart talk.
I want to open this can of worms.
Well, are we gonna finish the
it's a part of it.
Okay, go ahead.
But I don't know if you have something else planned for it. Otherwise I'll ask this question.
Okay, fine. John chapter 2, verse 11. Hold on to your question. John chapter 2, verse 11. So we did talk a little bit about what miracles are not. Anybody remember? Give me a simple one that's not a miracle. Childbirth is not a miracle.
Salvation
is not a miracle. The stars and the moon and things that we have no control over and some of the things we don't understand about nature, it's not a miracle. You know we're live, right? Okay. Moving on. The instantaneous demonstration of supernatural power deviating from natural law for the accomplishment of divine purpose. That's what we're talking about. Miracles in the church. Divine purpose is kind of one of those key terms. So John chapter 2, verse 11, Sister Charity, if you could read that for us. Unless, did you have a question? Okay, go ahead.
This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana
of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
All right, what's the purpose of his miracles?
And his glory.
And? Okay, so it was for the purpose of the divine knowledge, who God is and what God wants for you. He wants you to recognize he's God, and he wants you to be stronger in your faith. He showed you a miracle so that that might happen. It's not about a show, right? He didn't do it to be, what's the play? Oh, it was right there. Jesus Christ Superstar. No, he's not. He wasn't here to be a superstar. Mark chapter 2. Mm-hmm. That's a weird thing to do, to date yourself.
15-year-old.
Oh,
I'm trying more.
That's what the audible moans over here by my daughter. What wasn't other people? Oh, my wife, she's not wearing her hat today. She's got this hat that says, I'm apologizing for my husband. Mark chapter 2, 10 and 11, Sister Leslie. Chapter 2, verses 10 and 11.
But that you may know that the Son of God, of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.
All right, what's the purpose of the miracle? Oh, I thought it would be a little bit more. Sorry, my ears get confused. What was that again?
Jesus has the power to forgive our sin.
Okay. Not only that, but the Son of Man.
God in the flesh.
God in the flesh. Because don't we have a mediator? The man, Jesus Christ. He came in the flesh. And again, we can go down that. Well, why is that important? Because that's what the Old Testament prophesied would happen. That God would come in the flesh. That he could die for my sins. And he has power on earth to forgive sins. This is not a man, so-called like you and I, but this is God. He has authority. He has power. What was the purpose of the miracle?
To reveal.
To manifest Jesus Christ and his power and what he came to do. It wasn't about the miracle. It wasn't about the healing. And again, we know this is clear, right? Was Jesus more concerned with the man's ability to walk or with his eternal condition? The eternal condition.
Which I'd like to point out, everybody that received a miracle was dead.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into a little bit of that too, because it's back to that Bible analysis. What is the information and the facts that you're receiving? And is it causing you to question what you thought the doctrine was? Because, wait a second, I'm reading this. How does this fit in? And then do that intelligent, rightly dividing. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And in verse number 42, Sister Sarah.
And in that place, not always, but because of the people with them, by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
All right, what's the context?
Then peace. And rise again.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say other things.
No, I was waiting for the context. What did Jesus do here? Okay, so the guy was dead. But how dead was he?
Dead.
Yeah, he stinketh.
He stinketh.
Right? So the people realized, man, he's in the grave a long time. He's dead. This is a dead, dead. What did Jesus do? Raised him up to life. Why did he do it?
They believe that God sent him.
Okay, why is that important?
Because if he's not sent from God, he doesn't have any authority.
Exactly, because that's a problem in the scripture. He's been confronted with that before. Who gave it thee the authority? Well, let me ask you. John the Baptist. Right? So again, is the miracle for the show?
Yeah.
And what's the purpose?
reveal.
Show forth that Jesus really was
God. Jesus. It's to show Jesus and everything that he's promised, from I'm the lamb, I come to shed my blood, I come to be the sacrifice, I come to fulfill the law, I'm son of God, I am God, I have authority, I have power, I have glory, I forgive sins, I cleanse the soul, I make alive, I am the resurrection. Because what's our faith based on? It ought to be on Jesus Christ and that he rose up from that dead because he's God.
You kind of just said what I was going to say. You notice a lot of the healings have, your faith is maybe whole, or when there's a healing, the lady touched the garment, and then these sins be forgiven. Like, all they have, just because there's a physical, she knows our flesh is something physical to see, but he also, for our carnal mind, shows us something spiritual that's much greater than that.
Okay, so we're just going to go answer it with John chapter 3. All right, and this really is, when it comes to this doctrine of miracles, why they were there, who got to use them, and how long they stuck around. We're going to finish it with these two verses here, John chapter 3, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. And I get it. I'm going to be a little snarky here. Confessional. I don't know all the scripture. So it's a lifetime. My fault. I should know all the scripture. I should know 1,000 different ways to teach this. But I've also been jaded, and that's a problem. Anybody ever been jaded before? A little callous? You never have been. You ever talk to a box of rocks? I know a brother that preaches to a fish. I imagine that gets a little frustrating. Imagine after a while, you're like, dude, are you going to change or what? I've been doing this for years, and it's the same old fish. Sometimes we get a little jaded. And the jaded gets me to this point. There's a few verses here that sign, seal, and deliver. There's no reason to go any further than this on this doctrine. It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. Maybe that's a right attitude. Maybe it's not a right attitude. But if we don't understand what John chapter 3 is here with this little small, short conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, then we're probably not going to see anything else in the scripture, because it's very basic. And it's one of those spoon-fed sentences that tells us exactly what's going on with all these miracles, right? So John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Brother Damon.
Man?
Brother Damon.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah.
Did you really say that? Damon.
I thought it was.
I heard Daniel.
My apologies. Brother Michael.
You would please.
See, named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The chain came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
All right. Thank you very much. So what's in this little statement by Nicodemus, what's the most important aspect of Jesus Christ?
It's from God. God is a true from God.
No man can do these
miracles. He's a teacher from God. So what does that tell you?
You didn't get it.
Okay, what does that tell you about Jesus?
He was the Father's will.
He's a teacher. What does a teacher do?
There's knowledge.
Knowledge, distinct, guides, gives the understanding of what? Of the mind of Christ, of the mind of God, of the way, the law. How do you get saved? What's the purpose of baptism? What is church? Bride? What do you mean judgment? What is this resurrection? Where'd all that come from? It came from Jesus. And he was understood that's from God. Okay, now, Nicodemus painted himself into a corner, didn't he? Because he is of false religion, and he just admitted the things that come out of Jesus' mouth are from God. It's confirmed. Because he does miracles. Because nobody can do that except God's with him. So what's the attitude towards the miracles in society? False religion, the pagans, the peasants, the kings, the Pharisees, the scribes. What did they know? Jesus had words of truth from God. They all painted themselves into a corner.
Hated him.
That's why they hated him. They got to get rid of this guy. The bad guys are getting exposed. They're getting exposed because they knew this man's doing miracles. How they couldn't get that mixed up in their brain to look right, saying, if he's from God doing miracles, me killing him is not going to do anything because he's a miracle worker from God. But they were so blinded by their own ignorance and humanism and rage and hate, they couldn't see that. What's the point for you and I? What does John 1:1 tell us?
It was a word.
All right. Who's God?
God.
What does he have? The word. How do you and I know that?
God says it.
Okay, because we have it completed today, and we have the Holy Spirit to confirm that in a New Testament church as a comforter. What did they have in that day?
God.
Miracles.
Yeah.
Miracles. When was the last time any of you saw a miracle?
Never.
You haven't. How do you believe the word then?
God says so.
We have the only single word.
Because you have the completed word of God and you have the Holy Spirit as comforter working in by and through a New Testament church to guide in these things to pierce our hearts. We don't need miracles. None of us do because they're gone. And then we have Mark 16 that I believe puts the last screw in the coffin. I guess nail. Whatever. We use screws nowadays, right? Is that too modern of an analogy? The last nail in the coffin. Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Brother Nathan, if you could read those, please, sir.
Yeah. And they told him in the head. He said,
I don't know. That was incoherent, everything there for me. I have no idea what just happened.
Mark 16.
Yes. 19 and 20.
Sorry, I was reading. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
All right. So now, what's the purpose of the miracles? Confirm the word. What have we read any other purpose of these miracles so far? Pour over the Gospels. Look at every single miracle done by Jesus or his church. He sent them out sent out the 12, sent out the 70. Is there any indication that those miracles that were in the church that were 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 talk about had any other purpose in them? But to convince people, if you will, that what they were teaching was the word of God. Okay, you won't find that. All right? So now then, boy, I got 3 minutes. It ain't going to happen.
Okay,
2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Just a couple. Is it 2 minutes behind? Thank you, Brother Michael. Can you please let me know when it's 1 minute before I have to stop? Please. Well, probably should give me 2 minutes in case I ask the wrong person to pray. They'll go very, very long with their prayers. Sister Ella, if you could read verses 8 and 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9.
For this man was taught literally. For this man sought the Lord Christ that it might depart from me. And instead of the need, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Those gladly yet more will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ be much to my faith.
I have never argued this with any charismatic at all, but did Paul not have enough faith just to heal himself, or have Timothy come heal him, or somebody else in the church come heal him, or did the church not heal?
He's on the latter end there. It's the church age.
All right. When you said ladder, I thought of Latter-day Saints. Where's brother? Sorry. And I kind of didn't hear the rest of what you said there because my mind.
Read the words out a lot.
He was on the latter end of an angel miracle
okay.
inside church.
2 Timothy chapter 4. Because, I mean, the Spirit through Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, right? And even now abideth. Faith, hope, and love. So, 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Brother Christian.
Second Corinthians 4:20.
Yeah.
Timothy.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20.
For as the supposed foreign, but Trophimus.
Right.
Filed from the sick.
That was the easy one.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry. Why didn't he just heal him?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just heal him? Yeah, it's there was there a need? I mean, obviously this is fellowship with Paul. Was there a need for Paul to be convinced of the Lord when he sought the Lord to heal him? Was there a need for Trophimus to be confirmed to the word to heal him, or did they already have that? They knew the word of God. They knew the truth. And yeah, it was coming to the latter end of the use of this. So what does that do for us? How many of us caught? I didn't catch any of that. I never thought about, Paul sought the Lord thrice and wasn't healed. That's what I'm going to use next time somebody's talking about. I never put those together, but there it is. Why didn't they? When Jesus said, go heal. And then we see instances where very faithful men, evidently holy men that were moved of God, holy men, were not healed. We're not healed. And who was it that said something about the dead? Why not? Oh, they crucified him. Watch this. Come back up. All right, so it's smarty pants here. We're having fun. But sometimes maybe it is that oh, man, that's a great point that you have. And I was just reading about that the other day. When Paul was seeking healing from the Lord and God said no. That's very interesting. Maybe that would cause an individual to say, what? Where's that at again? Because, you know, a lot of folks don't read that stuff. Brother Reagan, let's all stand.
So if I can explain something, I have to put it in a miracle line.